We're marking the 20th anniversary of a remarkable year in hip-hop. Over the 12 months of 1993, Queen Latifah, De La Soul, Snoop Dogg, A Tribe Called Quest, and more than a dozen other artists released or promoted albums that helped to change the sound of America. Black Rain, 1993. But it's 93. I tried rap.
Follow me, but don't lose your grip. Nine trips, eight, the years in for me to hook up. So my man, watch your back. 93
means skills are a must, so never lie. The rap group Onyx released a raucous single in 1993. Slam became an unlikely hit on MTV and pop radio. Dan Charnas reports that Slam was on the leading edge of a media sea change.
In 1990, MTV and pop radio sounded like this. There wasn't much hip-hop except on specialty shows like Yo MTV Raps. The occasional rap song that did get airplay sounded something like this. Can't touch this. Pop rap from the likes of MC Hammer was anything but hard. Back then, Rick Cummings was the program director at Power 106, a pop station in Los Angeles.
Vanilla Ice and Hammer were pop artists. They were non-threatening. There wasn't anything about their lyrics or their appearance that could be terribly troubling or unsettling or even regarded as somewhat aggressive. They were just really mainstream, mass appeal pop records.
That's what the folks at Profile Records saw in four kids from Queens who called themselves Onyx. Profile signed the group in 1990. I just landed my first job out of college at Profile doing radio promotion to specialty hip-hop shows. I was green, and so was Onyx. Fredro Starr, de facto leader of the group, explains what Onyx was trying to do.
We called it the country style back in the days. I used to go down south when I was like 13, 14, and I would come back home to Queens from summer down south. I was down south for like 2 months, so I kind of had a little southern drawl, and people was noticing like, yo, you sound like you're from the country.
The record bombed. Even at the specialty rap shows, and Onyx was dropped from the label.
I walked away and I was like hurt, depressed, and everything. I wanted to just jump off a building after that.
While Starr and his bandmates nursed their wounds, pop radio continued to focus on hip-hop light. Then, in 1991, something strange happened. In Los Angeles, Rick Cummings saw it in his station's ratings, which dropped from first to 10th.
And we started doing a little research, and we realized very quickly that these young kids, especially the Latinos, were talking about hip-hop. And I still remember this singular moment when a consultant with our group turned to us and said, "What's hip-hop?" And I thought, oh boy, we are in trouble.
The following year, Cummings did something that no pop radio programmer in America had ever done. He made hip-hop the core of his format.
Once we embraced it fully. If we added a rap record, it played around the clock.
Amid these developments, the rap group Onyx resurfaced, with a new mentor, the late Jam Master Jay, a new record deal with Def Jam Sony, and a new aesthetic. Bandmates Fredro Starr and Sticky Fingers explain.
We created these characters called Mickey Billy and Sticky Fingers.
Yo, Sticky.
These stick-up kid characters.
Yeah, we were stick-up kids.
Yeah, hand over the money.
And that's where the grimy style got created. Give me the money, give me the money. When Jay heard that record, he was like, yo, who's on this record? Who's this? I was like, that's me and Sticky. He was like, yo, give me 10 of those.
But by the time the new album was done, Jam Master Jay decided Onyx didn't have its hit single yet. Jay sent the musicians back into the studio.
We need to make a song that's just as aggressive or more aggressive, but can play on the radio. We spent the whole week in the studio, and that's how Slam was created.
We got the chorus from Nirvana, Smells Like Teen Spirit. That's where the idea came from. We wanted to have black people, hip-hop,
go crazy,
slam dancing in the in the gym just like that.
I'm so used in a building, I'm so confused. Excuse me, for example, I'm an inspiration of a whole generation. And unless you got 10 sticky fingers, it's an imitation, a figment of your imagination. But wait, it gets worse.
With Slam, Onyx was falling in line with pop radio's new openness to the sounds of the street. Johnny Coppola did radio promotion for Sony Music.
I can remember getting a call from the music director at WPGC. He said, dude, this record is so off the hook. The phones will not stop ringing. I had five or six big stations calling me, telling me you've got Power Rotation on this record.
Onyx made a rowdy video for Slam that hit MTV at a time when the channel had also begun to play harder rap. Patti Galluzzi was MTV's director of music programming at the time.
I feel like 1993 was the year that rap artists in particular started really moving into our heavy rotation. And Onyx felt like it was smack in the middle of the sort of thing that we could play.
Galluzzi and MTV did have one problem, the album title, which they had to find some way to display on screen.
There's no way we had backed the f*** up on the Chyron. I'm sure we had backed a star up. But there was nothing about the lyrics that were misogynistic, violent, and it was something like number 13 in the top 100 of 1993, which is huge.
Onyx's Slam also became a top five hit at pop radio, a feat that Rick Cummings says would have been impossible just a few years earlier.
Had Slam come along in 91, I don't know. I'm skeptical that we would have played it. But by 1993, it was like, yeah, this is great. Let's play it.
But Onyx themselves were never able to create a follow-up hit, unable to capitalize on the opening they helped create. Yet Slam came at a pivotal moment in hip-hop's ascension to the mainstream. Within a few years, most pop radio stations in the country would essentially switch to hip-hop formats. It became the new rock and roll. For NPR News, I'm Dan Charnas.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News with Steve Inskeep. I'm Renee Montaigne.